Picture this, Stockholm, 2006. The World Championships of Magic, what insiders call the Magic Olympics. In the buzzing convention center, 146 competitors from 66 countries showcase their finest deceptions. Among them stands Alex Stone, a physics student whose journey began at age 5 with an FAO Schwartz magic kit. Despite an embarrassing debut at his 6th birthday party, where hecklers reduced him to tears, magic became his refuge. First connecting him with his skeptical scientist father during Saturday trips to JCR Magic in San Antonio, then providing escape during his physics studies at Columbia. For Stone, the magic community was an island of misfit toys where introverts found structured social interaction without vulnerability. As he prepared to compete in Stockholm, he faced the hierarchy of the magic world. Hobbyists content to fool laypeople, competitive magicians who fool other magicians, and the eccentric geniuses at the top. Then came his Olympic moment, a disaster of epic proportions. Following a dazzling performance by Canadian wizard Sean Farquhar, Stone stepped into the spotlight with trembling hands and immediately dropped a coin with a loud clink. His Renaissance-themed routine, connecting magic and physics, crumbled as he performed before 1,000 people. When he moved to card tricks, his hands dipped below the table, a cardinal sin, drawing snickers. Panicked, he dropped cards into his lap during a failed deck switch. The Spanish judge waved for him to stop, red-lighting him mid-performance, the only competitor to suffer this disgrace. Humiliated, Stone vowed never to do magic again. After his Olympic failure, Stone abandoned magic and entered Columbia's physics PhD program, seeking nature's mysteries through science instead. Though physics humbled him, magic beckoned again. At a Society of American Magicians meeting, he found support rather than scorn, while talented teens at Tannen's Magic Shop rekindled his passion. This led him to Jeff McBride's Magic and Mystery School in Las Vegas. McBride's home, the House of Mystery, created an otherworldly atmosphere with scrolls, swords, and masks. Students gathered by candlelight to sign the obligation of the mage. Reviewing Stone's Olympic routine, McBride was frank. Great effect, poor execution, citing flawed sight lines and weak stage presence. McBride described magic's 4 archetypes: trickster, beginner, sorcerer, technical master, oracle, perception explorer, and sage, wisdom teacher. Stone recognized himself as a trickster, and McBride's message was clear: you need a master. The question became, who's my Yoda? Stone's mentor, Wesley James, a gruff sleight-of-hand master from Di Vernon's circle, held court at a pizza parlor near Herald Square. Despite his disheveled appearance and Manchu cue, Wes's hands moved with extraordinary precision. Their initially tense relationship thawed after discovering a mutual interest in quantum mechanics. During weekly sessions, Wes taught Stone to think like a cheat, sharing techniques for false cuts and card switching. Stone devoted himself to studying Ernaze's The Expert at the Card Table during his commutes. His education extended to Richard Turner, the world's premier card mechanic who was legally blind. Turner's tactile sensitivity was so acute that casinos employed him as a touch analyst to detect variations in cards. He could return a thoroughly shuffled deck to perfect numerical order by touch alone, ability supported by research showing blind people's visual cortex activates during tactile tasks, allowing them to see with their fingers. Magic tricks succeed by exploiting fundamental limitations in human perception. At the new school, Stone experienced inattentional blindness in Arian Mack's lab. When focusing on one task, he completely missed images flashing in his visual field. This phenomenon extends beyond vision to hearing and touch. Without attention, there is no conscious perception. Daniel Simons's famous invisible gorilla experiment demonstrates this dramatically. Viewers counting basketball passes miss a person in a gorilla suit walking through the scene. Similarly, change blindness causes viewers to miss obvious alterations between consecutive scenes, including switched actors mid-scene. These limitations show our mental representations are subjective constructions built from incomplete information. Philosophers term these subjective experiences qualia, with some, like Daniel Dennett, suggesting consciousness itself might be illusory, where memories pop in and out of our minds like subatomic particles. Mathematicians Diaconis and Baer proved that 7 shuffles, not 3 or 4, truly randomize a deck of cards. This occurs as a sudden phase transition, like water freezing, revealing casino vulnerabilities and mixing phenomena models. Magic and science were historically complementary. Newton and Leibniz studied alchemy, while 19th century magicians like Robert Houdin pioneered electromagnetic innovations. Until the 1930s, magic shows were marketed as scientific amusements. The Conjuring Arts Research Center houses 15,000 magic books, including gambling manuals, CIA documents from Mulholland spy training, and rare texts like a 300-year-old Belgian dice cheating manual. Stone's mentalism experiences revealed psychology's role in belief. After performing cold readings, subjects attributed supernatural meaning to his performances. Despite his skepticism, he found himself vulnerable to a psychic's predictions through confirmation bias. This blend of deception, psychology, and mathematics shows magic's broader significance. The principles behind card tricks explain unreliable eyewitness testimony and our susceptibility to manipulation. Magic doesn't just fool us, it reveals fundamental truths about perception. As the IBM competition approached, Stone mastered the Faro Shuffle, precisely interweaving cards to reveal a spectator's written name and selected card through 8 perfect shuffles, marked by blue dots on the edges. With Kate's guidance, Stone refined his act through scripted practice, metronome timing, and filmed analysis. His Gershwin Hotel performance succeeded despite his mentor Wes's doubts about the gimmicked sketchpad, as the secret name materialized on the deck. At the IBM Gold Cups in San Diego, Stone performed confidently before former IBM president Obie O'Brien, who had once eliminated him. Though he didn't win against prodigies like Shin Lim and Nathan Gibson, Stone discovered victory wasn't his true aim. Flying home, Stone reflected on how breakthroughs often emerge from play, from Feynman's Nobel work starting with a wobbling plate, to mathematicians Baer and Diaconis's card shuffling research born from amusement. In an age of cynicism, magic captivates us because being fooled is delightful. It offers a controlled experience of losing control. Even the legendary Di Vernon, at life's end, yearned to experience this wonder again. Magic helps us recapture childlike astonishment. The underground world of magic reveals profound truths about perception. What starts as simple tricks evolves into sophisticated art rooted in mathematics, psychology, and performance theory. The principles behind card tricks explain why we fall for fake news and construct flawed narratives. Magic isn't about secrets, it's about wonder. The best magicians know that method matters less than the moment of astonishment. This is why exposure doesn't kill magic. Knowing how a trick works doesn't diminish its masterful performance. Magic endures because it offers permission to embrace mystery. In that space between knowing and not knowing, we rediscover the joy of amazement.